RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Soekarno-Hatta named Asia-Pacific most connected airport. Indonesia and France to cooperate on vocational education. Now the news in detail. According to report by Air Travel Intelligence Company, OAG, Soekarno-Hatta International Airport, CGK, is Asia-Pacific most connected airport based on the FIM's latest AOG Mega Hub Index made available on Wednesday. The Jakarta Airport ranked the first in the top 10 Asian Mega Hub airports list with 566 connectivity indexes in front of Japan's Haneda Airport, 418, and Australian Sydney Airport, 389. Soekarno-Hatta International Airport CGK is said to have received the recognition as a result of its plans to undergo major changes over the next 5 years, which is said to cost around 30 trillion rupiah or around $22.2 billion in a bid to reach a 5-star status and to become an international transit hub. Meanwhile, in the world top 50 most connected airport list, which is based on the number of connections available and the number of destinations served, Jakarta claimed 7th spot. Indonesia and France will cooperate on vocational education in Perus Pils. The vocational education program is part of the strategy partnership that began in 2011 between the two countries. Surya Rosa Putra, the Embassy Education and Culture Attaché, remarked that the embassy in collaboration with the Institute of France's Indonesia IFI and the French Embassy in Jakarta brought together 50 vocational education actors of both countries at a focus group discussion. The forum discussed vocational education programs in four areas: energy, tourism, agriculture, and maritime. The Indonesian ambassador to France, Monaco, and Andorra, Hotma Ngaraja Panjaitan, asserted the importance of cooperation in the field of education from elementary to high school grades. The cooperation between the two countries focused on helping Indonesia improve the quality of teachers and developing a four-year vocational school in the country. The government has allocated more than 2.4 trillion rupiah, or around $177.4 million, for six regencies in Indonesian border areas in 2017 state budget to boost its overlooked economy. The investment potential spans from agriculture, tourism, and fishery, with a different champion sector for each regency. The six regencies, Natuna, Nunukan, Belu, Talaud Islands, Morotai, and Merauke, are the exemplary projects among the 41 regencies in the border areas prioritized to be developed. Villages and Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Minister Eko Putro Sanjoyo stated that those regencies must create their own business model to build out economic competitiveness in each region. President Joko Widodo has pledged to prioritize the outer and remote areas in the country for development. Agriculture Observer of Bogor Institute of Agriculture APB Hermanto Sregar reminded the government about the importance of having accurate food data to formulate sound import policies. He expressed his appreciation to the Trade Minister for deregulating export and imports. However, he emphasized on the food data accuracy. Rimanto also reminded the government to be careful in importing horticultural and food products so that they would not harm local farmers. Therefore, he suggested the Trade Ministry to conduct in-branch inspection and take random samples to assess the quantity and quality of imported food. However, Hermanto said that the government should also be careful in removing the verification requirements for suppliers in terms of rice, steel, oil and gas commodities. The Alliance of the Nation of Indonesia, consisting of various groups and political parties, said that thousands of people are expected to attend a gathering in central Jakarta on Sunday to create awareness of the need to guard Indonesian diversity. Following an upsurge in political tension over blasphemy allegation against incumbent Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama, Golkar Party Chairman Zainuddin Amali said the series of activities being planned under the theme "We Are Indonesia" have no connection with Pradesh and the Ahok rally in Jakarta. Besides Golkar, the National Democratic Party NASDEM, which also support the President Joko Widodo, will be involved. Organizing Committee Head Victor Laiskodat claimed that about 500,000 people are expected to participate in the event. Various national stakeholders, including Indonesia's biggest Muslim organization, Nahdlatul Ulama, have called on their followers to return to Indonesian Pancasila state ideology, which is honors diversity. The last item, the Jakarta provincial government guaranteed that the audit performed on 30 Transjakarta buses would not disrupt services provided by the company. The audit was performed to guarantee passenger safety. Acting Jakarta Governor Sumarsono said that Transjakarta would continue to provide transportation services with slight changes. He also remarked that the Standard Operating Procedure SOP requires an operational product to be put on hold whenever an accident occurs. While the cause is still unknown, Sumarsono added that the SOP also requires a comprehensive audit to be performed to all vehicles. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various significant events that occurred this week have been reviewed by some of the leading media in Jakarta and outlined in the press review. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper, which is in its editorial on Friday 2 December, wrote, "Fightful Out in Novanto Era." The House of Representatives of 2014 until 2019 period is now entering a new phase. A plenary session on Wednesday approved Setia Novanto as Speaker of the House, replacing Ade Komarudin. Of the 16 chairmen of the House who had served, only Novanto, who had resigned from office, then reoccupied the position that he abandoned. If you look at the facts, on December 16, 2015, Setia Novanto resigned from the post as Speaker of the House after all the factions in the Court of Honor, or MKD Council, thought that he had violated the House ethics and sanctioned him for the alleged demand for stocks. However, the factions in the House, which approved the return of Setia Novanto as the House Speaker, also have a ground. On 7 September 2016, the Constitutional Court had issued a decision declaring that the electronic records as a main evidence in the MKD trial against Novanto is not valid. According to Kompas, now is the time for Setia Novanto to remind House members, Vice Chairman and himself to be faithful to the oath of the House they have taken. Working earnestly for the sake of democracy, the interests of the nation and state over vast interests of individual or group and class, as well as fighting for the aspiration of the people for the sake of the nation and the unitary Republic of Indonesia, is the content of the old members of the House. Turning to Media Indonesia newspaper, in its editorial on Wednesday, 13 November, the paper wrote, "Competing to love Indonesia." At its high level of plurality, Indonesia is actually risking something which is not simple, related to potential threats to national unity. The simple logic, the higher level of diversity of a country, the more difficult to wrap it all in a single frame of unity. Of course, it requires efforts, struggles, and tremendous sacrifices to be able to embrace and take care of that unity. All parties in Indonesia should be grateful to have Pancasila as the ideology, as well as the press of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or unity in diversity. It is an agreement that the existence of the Republic is final as the foundation of national unity. In that frame, this Republic stands strong in order to overcome the risk of primordial friction, which is often exploited to break the unity. Media Indonesia wrote these days amid a heated political climate ahead of local election, showing one's love for the country feels so soothing. In Indonesia, the difference is a reality that cannot be denied. Pluralism is a blessing and strength. Therefore, to love this country is to respect its diversity and pluralism. Hopefully, this is pursued by the people who are now trying to love Indonesia. Let's end with Koran Sindo, which is in its editorial on Thursday wrote, BUMD's motor of the economy. The prediction that Indonesia would become one of the countries listed in the top 20 economies of the world, or at level 16, has not been able to cover the gaps that exist in society. In fact, the poverty rate is still relatively high, and there are many villages and areas in very disadvantaged categories. Therefore, the government urged that the village budget must always be maximized. If this year's village budget has been set at 47 trillion rupiah, in the next year it should be increased to 60 trillion rupiah. Such large fund is not simply intent to secure the village program, but most importantly how these funds can be used as a motor of economic growth among others by establishing village-owned enterprises. Related to the direction and focus of BUMDes, Minister for Rural Development and Construction of Disadvantaged Areas, Eko Putro Sanjoyo, cautioned that the government institution in the village must use correctly the focus of BUMDes business goals. According to Koran Sindo, the movement to develop village economy is getting complete. The government believes the program will make the economy move and eventually can boost village incomes. That was press review of RRRW Service Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, it's nice to meet you again in our daily program Today in History of RRRW Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened on December 3, 1945, is about Public Works Day. Public Works Day on December 3 is a commemoration of an event of 3rd December 1945 when 7 employees of Public Works died at the battle to defend Gedung Sate in Bandung West Java, which at the time became the office of Public Works Department and would be occupied by the Allies. The event was a consequence and continuation of the Proclamation of Independence of Republic of Indonesia on 17 August 1945. On 24 November 1945, Bandung City was taken by the battle. At the time, Gedung Sate was guarded by forces of Public Works Youth Movement and aided by troops from the Agency for Struggle. On 3rd December 1945, Gedung Sate was attacked by Allied forces from all corners. Based on the decree of Coordinating Minister of Public Works and Labor Department on 27 November 1965, it was decided on 3rd December as a Public Works Day. The next event was in 1984, is about the Bhopal disaster. The Bhopal disaster, also referred to as the Bhopal gas tragedy, was a gas leak incident in India, considered the world's worst industrial disaster. It occurred on the night of 2nd until 10 December 1984 at the Union Carbide India Limited Usual Pesticide Plant in Bhopal, Madhya Pradesh. Over 500,000 people were exposed to methyl isocyanate, mixed gas and other chemicals. The toxic substance made its way into and around the sandy towns located near the plant. Estimates vary on the death toll. The official immediate toll, death toll was 2,259, The governor of Madhya Pradesh confirmed that a total of 3,787 deaths related to the gas release. The government in 2006 stated that the leak counts 558,125 injuries, including 38,478 temporary partial injuries and approximately 3,900 severely and permanently disabling injuries. Others estimate that 8,000 died within 2 weeks, another 8,000 or more have since died from gas-related diseases. The cause of the disaster remains under debate. The Indian government local activists argue that slack management and repair maintenance created a situation where routine pipe maintenance caused a backflow of water into milk tank, triggering the disaster. Union Carbide Corporation, UCC, contends water entered the tank through a net of sabotage. And the last event was in 1992, is about International Day of Persons with Disabilities. International Day of Persons with Disabilities on December 3rd is an international observance promoted by the United Nations since 1992. It has been celebrated with varying degrees of success around the world. The observance of the day aims to promote an understanding of disability issues and mobilize support for the dignity, rights, and well-being of persons with disabilities. It also seeks to increase awareness of gains to be derived from the integration of persons with disabilities in every aspect of political, social, economic, and cultural life. It was originally called International Day of Disabled Persons until 2007. Each year, the day focuses on a different issue. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Edited Web Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today, it's entitled Indonesia and the European Union Strengthen Cooperation. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said relations between Indonesia and the European Union not only affect the development of each party, but also strengthened both in the face of global challenges. She was speaking during the opening of the Indonesia-European Union Joint Committee meeting, which was attended by European Union High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Federica Mogherini in Brussels on November 28 local time, as cited from Tempo.co. According to Minister Retno, relations between Indonesia and the European Union is getting stronger since the Comprehensive Partnership Agreement, or PCA, was implemented in 2014. Minister Retno said that amid uncertain global situation, the progress of the relationship is a strong foundation to improve the welfare of more than 750 million people of Indonesia and the European Union. Retno Marsudi then revealed a number of agreements reached by both parties in 2016, such as the lifting of three Indonesian airlines from the no-fly list, namely Batik Air, CityLink, and Lion Air. There is also Indonesia-European Union talks entitled Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IEU-CEPA. The first IEU-CEPA negotiations have agreed on the architecture of the talks, such as formatting working groups and the sub-working groups. Minister Retno said that Indonesia welcomed the second round of negotiations to be held in early 2017 in Indonesia, which would discuss the substance of the IEU-CEPA. The European Union is Indonesia's fourth largest investor in 2015, with the cooperation value of $26.14 billion in more than 1,400 projects. The number of European Union travelers to Indonesia in 2014 was also significant, reaching almost 10 million people. On the same occasion, the European Union High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security, Federica Mogherini, also expressed admiration for pluralism in Indonesia, the impression she got when she visited Indonesia last year. According to the European Union High Representative, the harmonious inter-religious and inter-ethnic life in Indonesia should be an example for the European Union. Mogherini expressed her desire to launch a program in 2017 which could help the European Union in studying the pluralistic life in Indonesia. The Indonesian Foreign Minister and the European Union High Representative meeting also discussed other global issues such as the situation in the Middle East, migration, terrorism, the issue in Rakhine State, as well as the situation in Asia and Europe. In addition, they also inaugurated the reactivation of parliamentary friendship group cooperation between Indonesia and the European Union. It is a forum for members of the European Parliament who wish to strengthen cooperation with Indonesia in various fields. The group is chaired by Ana Gomes of Portugal with two vice chairmen, namely Lennart Jeroen from Holland and Urmas Paet of Estonia. At present, the friendship group has 22 members of the European Union Parliament and is expected to evolve in the future. The Indonesian ambassador to Belgium, Yuri Tamrin, welcomed the inauguration of the group and expressed his commitment to facilitate the activities of this friendship group. That was Focus for today.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation towards ulamas and officials who involved in the peaceful rally and mass prayers in the National Monument Complex Monas in central Jakarta on Friday. Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara announced on Friday cooperation with giant tech company Apple Incorporation. He stated that his side and Apple have signed a cooperation agreement. They agreed to build a research and development center in Indonesia, and they are ready to recruit Indonesians to work with them. Semarang Diponegoro University Undip will grant Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujasuti a degree of an honorary degree. Chairman of the Student Senate at the Semarang Diponegoro University, Sunarso, stated that the process of awarding the title to Minister Susi has gone through a long and regulatory procedures. State airline company Garuda Indonesia final received capital injection 8.4 billion rupiah from the government. The airline made announcement in Jakarta on Friday, 2 December, that the government organized a private placement that was approved by the company's extraordinary shareholders meeting on December 12, 2014. Police Senior Commissioner Ridwanto said that the Indonesian police Polri arrested 10 persons for the alleged links with malicious conspiracy on Friday. He remarked that his side has arrested the 10 persons separated between around 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock a.m. local time. The interbank exchange rate of rupiah moved higher by 29 points to 13,501 rupiah per $1 compared with 13,530 previously in Jakarta on Friday afternoon. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesia Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of destinations in Bali. Stay tuned. Yeah. listener, Bali is an island which presents many beautiful natural tourism objects. However, there are many natural tourism objects which are not exposed yet. Because of internet, so it makes easier tourism object which is still hidden to be known by people. One of them is Kantolampo Waterfall in Gianyar, Bali. Listener, Kantolampo Waterfall is a new tourism object. This tourism object has been officially opened for tourists since August 2015. The location of Kantolampo Waterfall is precisely at Banjar Kelot Kangin Beng village, Gianyar, Bali. From Denpasar, it takes around an hour by car. Listener, Kantolampo Waterfall is close to settlements, so it makes difference and impressive. Usually, most of waterfalls are at hills, forests, or mountain areas on highlands. But unlike Kantolampo Waterfall, this waterfall is at low land, so to reach the waterfall, tourists must step down 100 stairs. Kantolampo Waterfall has 15 meters height. Fresh nuance is so felt because at surrounding area there are some big trees and also plantation. The form of the waterfall is unique. If observed closer, the wall of the waterfall is a little bit sloping. It makes water which flows not falling in bottom of the river. Listener, today Kantolampo Waterfall is managed well. The waterfall complex provides some facilities such as a place to change clothes. There is also a simple hut which is used to sell foods and beverages by local people. Kantolampo Waterfall management obtains from donations of visitors. Because of that, to enjoy Kantolampo Waterfall, tourists must donate around 5,000 rupiah into box which has been provided. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Kantolampo Waterfall in Bali. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika and Miscellany. Listener, various ways have been done by every region in Indonesia to attract tourists to visit their regions like Belitung has done. Today's edition of Miscellany, we will inform you about a festival in Belitung to attract tourists to visit Belitung. Listener, Tanjung Karayang Destination is eagerly developing geopark tourism in Belitung Island. The Geopark Festival is being prepared by the Working Group for Acceleration of 10 New Bali Destinations, chaired by Hiramsyah Shambudi Taib. The festival will take place on 9 until 11 December 2016. Its Belitung Regent, Yusli Iza, warmly welcomes the festival. He says that the festival is one of the events to attract and promote destinations in East Belitung, such as geology phenomenon, cultural diversity, the beaches, and many others. Chairman of Geopark team from ITB 81, Dia Herawati, explained that the festival aims to socialize geopark tourism to indigenous people, government, and tourists. The other goal is to synergize among community, government, and indigenous people in order to cooperate each other. She emphasized that the cooperation is really necessary because in terms of GeoProp, there is no administration authority restriction. There are many agenda to be held in GeoPark Festival. They are Belitung GeoPark National Workshops, Storytelling Workshop for elementary and junior high school teachers, fishing, diving, and cycling. All agenda can be participated and witnessed while enjoying beautiful scenery of Mempera Island, Bukulimau Island, and Open Pit. Listener, the geopark status from a geology area can enhance the appeal of a tourism place. Geopark also can increase people's economy apart from other sectors. Take for example, the economic benefit of the presence of geopark in one region has been gained such as by Sewu Mountain in Yogyakarta. In 2011, its regional income from cars destination reached 800 million rupiah. Fortunately, after becoming geopark destination, the regional income increased to 22.5 billion rupiah. It also makes the number of tourist visit is increasing. Formerly, it was only 200 tourists in a year, but it soars up to 1,200 tourists in a year after becoming National Geopark Tourism Destination. Well, listener, that was Miss Leni for today with the topic Belitung Geopark Festival. We will meet again with another interesting topic. Bye!
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are listening from. Welcome back to Music Corner, musical segment which introduce you to original Indonesian music, both traditional and modern music from the archipelago. In today's edition, I will introduce you to the band Noah. Before we talk more about Noah, let's listen to a song of theirs entitled Separuh Aku.
Di sini, pahami lah kau tak.
You've just listened to a song from the band Noah entitled Separuh Aku, which comes from Noah's first album entitled Seperti Seharusnya. This album arrives as Noah's debut, earlier known as Peter Pan. Noah consists of Ariel, Uki, Lukman, and David. The song entitled Mimpi Yang Sempurna, part of the compilation album entitled Kisah 2002 Malam, skyrocket up the chart. Unfortunately, in 2006, Andika and Indra resigned, and in 2012, the name of Peter Pan changed to Noah, with David as their new recruit to the band. The change in name strengthened the existence of Noah within the Indonesian music industry. In 2014, Noah released an album entitled Second Chance. One of the hit songs on this album is Hero. Let's check this song out.
Through the danger zone, like a shadow in your home. So let me be your hero and cast away your sin above. Let me be your
listener, that was A Hero, sung by Noah. This song was directed by a producer from Britain, Steve Lillywhite, who has received 5 Grammy Awards. Lyric Giring Niji helped the band formulate the lyrics. The song entitled Hero, signaled by spark of new creativity from Noah. So far in 2016, Noah has shown off their creativity by releasing an album entitled Sings Legends, where Noah sings legendary Indonesian songs from the 1960s until 1990s. This album was made to introduce you old songs to younger generation. To conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs. The first entitled Andaikan Kau Datang will be followed by Sendiri Lagi from Noah. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're You're still with us at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.